Would you take a moment and pray with me? Guide the words of my lips. Move in the pondering of our hearing and lead us, O Lord, into action. Amen. My grandfather, Oscar Sylvander Peterson, was born in 1882. When I think about that, that's kind of more than I can wrap my mind around. I mean, that's not last century. That's the century before. When I arrived on the scene, my grandfather, my mother's father, was already 1 year shy of 3/4 of a century old. That's old. Of course, I have different memories of my grandfather. By the time I was really aware, and by the way, you see a picture of him holding me as a baby in your bulletin. By the time I was really aware, my grandpa was blind. And how well I remember his continual, well, I guess the word should be encouragement, but I heard it a little bit differently. His encouragement for me to learn how to type. Because you never know, someday you too might be blind. Confession time. Today, when I type, I still have to look at the keyboard, for I never learned how to do it that way. And part of that was a bit of resistance. My grandfather died when I was in college. Can you guess what I inherited? Grandpa's typewriter. You know, that is an earlier era's version of a laptop. No, it doesn't connect to any World Wide Web. And it requires quite a bit more of the person using it. It doesn't have spell check. When you make a mistake, you can't just backspace or delete. You have to do a little bit more. Now, I confess, this has been sitting under my desk for years. And I took it out, and it's a bit frozen. I haven't exactly figured out how to unfreeze it. I know that there's a way of typing, but it's not doing it now. But this is my legacy. This is the gift that my grandfather passed on to me in all his wisdom. And he was a wise man. Not like those magi who traveled to Bethlehem. Now, the gift that we have received is an old, old story. I mean, this story is not in modern dress. These are ancient words. And they don't necessarily fit into how we view our world. And as we listen to them, we've got all sorts of questions. I mean, like about that star. How on earth, could that star be over Bethlehem for those magi to follow it? And why didn't anybody else seem to see it and make their way to Bethlehem? We've got some other questions about the story as we have received it, this old, old story, much older than my grandfather's typewriter. Questions about, well, when you look at what Luke's gospel has to say and what Matthew's gospel have to say, how do they fit together? Do they fit together. Luke does not mention the stars, and in Luke there's a heavenly chorus, and there are shepherds instead of magi that come to Jesus. And in Matthew's gospel, there's no mention of there being no room in the inn. Was it to a stable that those magi came? Do these stories even fit together? Big questions. The gift of this day, as we sort of have alluded, though, has to do with not so much what happened so long ago and wondering exactly how things fit together. Those are more modern questions to ask. But the questions that we are called to ponder have to do with our response to the story that we have received, the gift that has been placed in our hands, our inheritance. Now, in Matthew's gospel, those magi have an important role. For those magi are not insiders. Those magi do not come from the wisdom of Israel. Those magi come from a distant land. They no doubt speak a different language and possibly appear strange. They come from the outside to bear witness. And the function that they provide within the church even today is the reminder that the gospel is not contained within God's people. That the gospel is always intended for all people, everywhere. That all are included in the promise. I mean, that's a reminder that needs to be stated over and over again. For even, you know, towards the beginning of this, the faith of this group of people called children of Israel. Going back to Father Abraham and Mother Sarah. From that very first calling in Genesis chapter 12, the promise was in answer to the challenge to go where I lead. The promise was that you shall be a blessing. And other nations, other peoples shall be blessed in you. Or different translations maybe even have it saying that all in you shall be able to bless themselves. So from sort of the beginning of the story, the good news of the Bible in its entirety is for all people and not just the frozen chosen. For all people everywhere. All are part of this inheritance. In fact, we heard the words of the Apostle Paul earlier, who took on as his special calling the need to reach out beyond the boundaries of the people Israel. No, he was sent by God to the Gentiles, the Gentiles being the non-Israel people. To all people, that was his special, to share the open mystery of God. I mean, it's a mystery, yes, because it's hard to grasp, but it's not hidden behind all sorts of special wisdom and knowledge that you've got to figure out before you can grasp. It's out there for all to see. But yet it's still a mystery. Now, one thing that's interesting about the coming of the Magi is that sometimes as we're trying to tell the story that we have received, we sort of bring all the parts of it together and make it tell one short story, when it's intended to be sort of spread out. In the life of the church, in fact, we don't have the king's coming on Christmas, right? In the life of the church as it has changed, do I need to remind you that we don't know exactly when Jesus was born, you know, the day and the year. I mean, it was only much later on among Eastern European or among European believers that they settled upon December 25th, you know, being close to the winter solstice and an important time in the year for all people. In fact, our Eastern Orthodox brothers and sisters don't celebrate Christmas on the December 25th or either. I was going to look up when it is, but does anybody know when Eastern Orthodox Christmas is?
Today.
It is today. Okay, so this is their Christmas. But that doesn't change my point that the wise men didn't come on Christmas. We have our traditional 12 days of Christmas, which is more than just a song about humming about birds and things like that. There's a space there, a time there. And those 12 days are now over. And we have today, Epiphany. Now, a friend of mine who lives in London, today I was in conversation with him over Facebook. And he was just raising the question, and I think it's a good epiphany question. He was asking, okay, the 12 days are now over, we've celebrated, and we're soon going to be taking everything down and stuff. What's next? That is the epiphany question. The word epiphany means manifestation. It means how God is being seen, appearing, how God is manifest in the world around us. And that's a good question to ask, not only in the season of Epiphany, but also in this brand new year. You know, where is God in the world around us? Where is God in your school, King A? Sorry about that. Where is God where you work? Or where is God in your neighborhood? Link to that is, what is God doing? Are you paying attention? How is God appearing or not appearing? Are you looking between the lines? Are you seeking like those wise men sought? I mean, I don't think that star was necessarily visible to everyone. Otherwise, everyone would have gone to Bethlehem, don't you think? But it was just the wise men. And by the way, they weren't kings. They were wise men. They were magi. And we don't know how many of them there were. There were three gifts, and so traditionally we have come on three magi, or maybe three kings. But the question is a good one. And it's the epiphany question as we head into this world, this new year, as we head into this season, as we head into this week. Okay, God, what's next? And I'm not here to stand before you saying, this is what's next. Because that's a part of the story. That's a part of how we enter the story. That's how we take the gift and move with it. But we have to keep asking the question. okay, God, what's next? What's next? Where are you leading? What are you doing? How are you becoming visible in this world? How is your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven? Today, tomorrow, the next day. That's a good epiphany question. Now we've got a good epiphany song. Yes, it's about kings, but hey, let's sing it together. And I guess you could imagine me and my grandpa leading you in singing it. Let's sing together, We Three Kings of Orient Are. It's on your insert.